Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have of being able to come to you in prayer daily, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the blessing, the privilege we have of being able to open your word and commune with you in your word daily as well. Thank you for the wisdom, guidance, grace, and power that you pour into our hearts and our minds as we read and meditate on your word daily. And thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to grow an understanding of how to put wonderful tools such as prayer and faith to work in our lives as tools and weapons to help us to walk in victory in life. With every passing day, help us to be wiser stewards of these gifts, these weapons, and all the others that you entrust to us, and empower each of us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you called the disciples to follow Jesus while they were still sinners, while they were still immature, while they still didn't understand fully who Jesus was. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for calling us to just start with seeing Jesus as our Savior and to start with following him in love. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have called us to so many greater things, that you've called us to grow in maturity, that you've called us to grow in truth, you've called us to grow in word and obedience. And so Heavenly Father, I ask that we would grow some fruit today to be better stewards in your kingdom. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And as we read from Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, on an ongoing basis, as we share insights and truths about prayer and discipleship, one of the ongoing goals, of course, is to encourage believers to start the habit of reading the Word of God daily. Of course, you may often hear me mention specifically encouraging the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. Well, keep in mind, there are many reasons why reading and studying God's Word blesses your life, encourages your life, strengthens your life. But amongst other things, it builds your faith. And keep in mind, as Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So our goal is to live a life continually pleasing God. So the Word of God and time in the Word of God is a vital part of that. And so as we're looking into God's Word today specifically, we're going to look at and focus on the topic, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom. Again, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom. Now, of course, a currency is a means of exchange, a means whereby you can accomplish a given goal, depending on how you put that means of exchange to work. Well, in the natural, you know, you think of, for example, a dollar bill, a $5, $10, $20 bill, $100 bill, currency or, electronic currency. But the fact is, we use currency every day to purchase things, and it is a means of exchange. But in the natural, to counterfeit will get you in lots and lots of trouble. In other words, you cannot manufacture your own money. I've shared on, I think, other occasions of a gentleman that lived in the 1800s by the name of Emmanuel Ninger, and he was an outstanding artist. And there was a given day in which he used a particular $20 bill in a given store, and someone thought it looked a little suspicious, a little green had come off of it. Just to make a long story short, the police ended up getting a search warrant, searched his house, found a $20 bill in the process of being painted. Apparently, he was so gifted as an artist, he was painting bills, dollar bills, or, you know, different denomination of dollar bills. And yes, he did go to prison, because the fact is, no matter how gifted you are, the fact is it's wrong to counterfeit money, at least in the natural. And they did, also an interesting fact, they did find a couple paintings in his house that he had painted, and I believe both of them sold for over $1,000 a piece. So if he just simply used his gifts and strengths to do something honest, he probably could have been just fine financially. But sadly, he was using it to do wrong things. You cannot counterfeit money, such as dollar bills, in other words. But in the kingdom of God, whole different situation. Faith and prayer are currencies in the kingdom of God. And if you want to put it in the form of comparing it to money, God's encouragement is print all you want. In other words, develop your faith as much as you can. Pray. In fact, the Word of God tells us pray without ceasing. So it's important that we understand that our goal is to become spiritually rich when it comes to the currencies in the kingdom of God. Develop your faith as much as you can and pray as much as you can as well. So again, as we're looking today at the topic, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom, I want to encourage you to be mindful that developing your faith daily as you read and study the Word of God should be a goal for each and every one of us. And living a lifestyle filled with prayer, that too should be an important goal. I'm going to take time now. We're going to read the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 once again. But listen to it, because note, this chapter, amongst other things, recounts things people accomplished by the currency of faith in their lifetime. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. Verses 1 through 36, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll pick up in Hebrews 11 on the other side. If you're listening to the Hour of Intercessionist today, we're looking at the topic, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Sometimes I music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Faith and Prayer, Currencies of the Kingdom. And we're reading through Hebrews chapter 11. We're picking up now Hebrews chapter 11, picking up at verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verses 1 through 40, Hebrews chapter 11. Again, we're looking today at the topic, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom. Now, keep in mind, again, there are many things as believers that we can accomplish, and as Hebrews chapter 11 powerfully and beautifully points out, that again, like a currency, certain things we only accomplish as we put our faith to work. So yes, it's a kind of kingdom currency. Now keep this in mind, faith can work without prayer, but prayer cannot work without faith. So It's wise for us to assume that when we as believers pray, we're always, our goal, of course, is always to pray in faith. Yet faith and prayer work hand in hand. Sometimes words of faith are spoken by a believer that accomplish a given goal. So again, faith and prayer are both currencies of the kingdom of God. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know, we'll want to look at that in just a few moments, though. But I want you to keep in mind that for every believer, One of the many reasons, as we were speaking about earlier, one of the many reasons to read the Word daily is because daily we can strengthen our faith. Daily we can grow our faith as we read and meditate on the Word of God. I want to take time now to share from one of our articles that we've written that's on the AFA stand. This article is entitled, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. And so keep in mind, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, the title of the article, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Romans 1:17, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Again, Romans 1:17. Is the word of God true? Of course it's true. It's the Word of God. And His Word is truth. And God always keeps His Word. Well, if it is true, I am called as a believer to stand on that truth. I'm called to believe that it is true, act like it's true, and live a life acting on its truth. Why would this be true? Well, this is true because living a life of faith is to hear the Word of God so we can believe and live like it's true. Faith follows the Word of God because faith trusts and obeys. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important to everything in the Christian life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So it's impossible to please God without faith. Romans 1:17, once again, as well as other passages tell us, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Again, Romans 1:17. So we can see we're commanded to live by faith. And we're commanded to live by truth as well. So keep in mind, living by faith and truth and living by these are extremely important for all believers everywhere. So every believer would be wise to decide to become a lifelong student of faith. In other words, a lifelong student in the school of faith. We'd be wise to continually seek to build our faith and to continually learn more about faith and how to put it to work in our lives and in our world, because our goal is to always please God. The Word of God lets us know that every believer has some faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 lets us know, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So every believer has a measure of faith, yet we're wise to understand that our faith can grow and increase according to the Word of God. And it should continually be a goal for all believers to grow and develop their faith to become stronger and stronger with every passing day. Romans 10:17 tells us, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So then a believer can grow and increase his or her faith by reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. Faith is trust and belief that the Bible is true. And we live a life of faith as we trust the Word of God and live a lifestyle of acting on the Word of God or obeying the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not profit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Again, that's a powerful verse. I want you to listen to it again. "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." So mixing the hearing of God's Word and trusting of the Word of God is very, very important. So keep in mind, for believers, again, we're to focus our faith and use it to overcome challenges and difficulties we face in our lives. In the challenges that we face every day in our lives, whether we win or lose a battle is directly dependent on putting your faith to work. Knowing how to use and apply your faith makes all the difference in the world in every given challenge or difficulty you may encounter in your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." If we as believers want to live a victorious Christian life, we need to put our faith to work in our lives every day of our lives. This is how we live a life that pleases God and that builds the kingdom of God and that does lead to victory as well. Read and meditate on God's Word every single day. Learn to stand on the promises in God's Word and to believe they're true and act like they're true. Grow in your understanding that God and His Word can be trusted. You and I are wise to decide to be students in the school of faith who learn more and more about how to use our faith with every passing day. Why? because one of our goals is to grow in our knowledge of how to live a life that pleases and honors God. And this is a life of faith and trust in Him. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Again, 2 Peter 3:18. Let's be lifelong students who never graduate. Let's keep learning and growing in faith and knowledge of Him. Again, the title of that article, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. If you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, a very powerful story, a story with many insights about prayer and about faith as well. Again, we're looking today at the topic, faith and prayer, currencies of the kingdom. Keep in mind, obviously, we live in a world where if you have money and have a lot of money, then there are a lot of things you can accomplish as you use the currency of money. But keep in mind, in the kingdom of God, through your prayer and your putting your faith to work, anything money can obtain for you, keep in mind, through your prayer life and through faith, your prayer and faith can obtain it as well. But now keep in mind, that's not true. The inverse of that is not true. There are many things that your faith and your prayer life can help you obtain that money cannot buy. And so as we look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see just such a situation. We see a man by the name, and for time reasons, we won't read the whole passage, but I want to encourage you, please take time to go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 1. But just in summary, Elkanah, a man, had two wives. One's name was Peninnah, the other Hannah. Peninnah had a number of children, but Hannah was barren at this point in time. And Hannah had a problem. Hannah wanted to be the mother of a little boy, but she was barren at that point in time. And remember, the scripture never indicates that she and Elkanah, their family, had a lot of money. But even if they had, money could not buy her the ability to bear a child. So she was upset about it and disturbed, and Peninnah would make fun of her. But finally, one day, by the grace of God, she was wise enough to go to God in prayer. And in prayer, she basically said, "Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you for the rest of his life." She made a vow in prayer to God and asked God for a son. Well, was it okay to ask specifically for a son rather than a daughter or whatever God chose to give? Now, remember, you can ask. God is sovereign in his response, but you can ask. And she asked, and God gave her what she desired. And so she put her faith and trust in God. God heard and answered her prayer and gave her a son. Now, keep in mind, one of the wonderful things about our prayer life is that many times God will put desires on our heart because it's his desire before it's ever our desire. And when we, in faith and prayer, pray and ask God for those desires that are on our heart, and God gives them to us, wonderful things can happen, including God received what he wanted, and Hannah received what she wanted. God needed a faithful prophet in that day and time. There were wicked spiritual leaders in the land at that time, wicked priests who were supposedly serving God, but they really were not. They were dishonoring God in the way they were carrying themselves. God wanted a faithful prophet. And he obtained it by putting that desire on the heart of Hannah, and Hannah in prayer birthed that little boy. And keep in mind, she literally birthed the little boy, but keep in mind, through our prayer lives, men and women can birth God's dreams into the world. So as you pray, many times that's how God will get his work and will done. Through prayer, he'll place a desire on your heart, and as you pray for it, God gets what he wants and you get what you want time and time again as we pray in prayer. When believers are prayerless, when believers neglect to pray, or they don't take time to pray about big things and little things and just neglect prayer, in a very real sense, you could say that though God has placed desires on that person's heart because of them being prayerless, because they fail to pray, you might say that some of God's dreams end up being stillborn. They're never birthed into the world, tragically. But when we, in faith, pray, again, remember, prayer and faith in God are currencies in the kingdom of God. little Samuel was birthed into the world, and God had one of the great prophets of the Old Testament as he had desired, and he used it through the prayer life of a little wife by the name of Hannah. Yes, faith and prayer are currencies in the kingdom of God. You can call them means of exchange. And you and I are wise to develop our prayer life on a daily basis, develop our faith life on a daily basis, because there are many things God is ready to do in you and through you and for you if you would but ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened." God actually says, pray without ceasing. Why would he tell us that? Well, amongst other things, God wants us to be maximally fruitful in our lives. And the more we pray, the more God is excited about answering our prayers as we pray in line with his word and his will. We're to pray the word of God. Remember, the word of God is the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, God will answer that prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity. You give every one of us as believers to have a strong, vibrant prayer life whereby we can accomplish things and whereby we can use the currency of faith and prayer to get many things done, not only for ourselves and our families, but for the world. Set our prayer lives on fire afresh today and empower us more and more to be the praying church you've called us to be. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, Faith and Prayer, Currencies of the Kingdom. We'll be right back. Music of Nicole C. Mullen with On My Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Faith and Prayer, Currencies of the Kingdom. And we're encouraging you to be mindful that one of the many reasons why reading and studying God's Word daily is so important is because it daily can strengthen and encourage and build your faith. So the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can daily build, strengthen, and nourish your faith as you read and meditate on the Word of God each and every day. I want to take time now to share one additional article. This article is entitled, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 tells us, "As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right." Reading that verse again, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. "As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right." 1 Samuel 12, 23. Then James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "You do not have because you do not ask." Again, James chapter 4, verse 2. Prayer is talking with and listening to God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is worshiping and praising God. Prayer is giving thanks to God. Prayer is all of these activities and much, much more. We need to broaden and expand our definition and understanding of prayer and what it truly is. It can be said that prayer is our intimate walk and communion with God. No one prayed more than the Lord Jesus Christ did. His whole life was a prayer. We're called to imitate Christ. So like Christ, we should strive to live so that our whole life is a prayer, an intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is to be a major priority for the church, individually and collectively. We're to live lives given to prayer. The church itself is called to be a house of prayer. How tragic it is when we fall short in our calling and obligation to pray. When we don't pray as we should, we miss blessings that God very much wanted us to have. Did you or I miss one or more blessings today because we didn't pray for certain things? Again, James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. Then 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 tells us, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord as he prayed the prayer that we know as the prayer of Jabez. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 tell us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying in a given situation. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What a powerful verse. Again, Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Again, it says, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So judgment came upon the nation in that instance. Also, prayerlessness by the people of God can result in followers of Christ becoming spiritually dull. In other words, when the people of God neglect praying, we're not as spiritually alert and sharp as we would be and should be. And we're not as sensitive to the voice and the actions of the Holy Spirit as we should be as well. Prayer helps each of us to stay sharp spiritually. Finally, when the people of God don't pray as we should, we can miss what God is saying or doing in a given season or situation. Whereas, on the other hand, living a prayer-filled life can help followers of the Lord to be very sensitive and alert to God and the things of God. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that wise men came from the east looking for the king of the Jews. It's apparent that the wise men knew God, listened to God, and were very sensitive to the things of God. The wise men saw the star and knew what it meant. Apparently, they were men of prayer, and the Spirit of God had let them know a number of important truths that many others of that time apparently didn't know. They saw the star as probably anyone else during that time could see it. Yet, because they were close to God and listening to him, the wise men knew what the star meant. They knew that it was pointing them to the King of the Jews, the Messiah. So again, it was an indication that they were people of prayer. Sadly, people who they talked to and interacted with in Jerusalem could see the same star as well. Yet the scripture does not say that a single person follow them to go and find the Messiah. How tragic it is that it seems that many in Israel were spiritually insensitive to what God was doing in that situation. Now, Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, who were people, both of them people of prayer, they didn't miss their Messiah. They both saw and recognized him and were excited to see him. Why? Again, a prayer-filled life helps you to hear the Holy Spirit's voice much more clearly and sense him at work more than if we didn't live a prayer-filled life. Israel had been looking for their Messiah for centuries, yet sadly, many in Israel missed him when he came. Prayerlessness can cause each of us to miss out on so much in life. Please don't allow prayerlessness to define your life and specifically your prayer life. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. If you'd like to get a copy of this and the other article that we share, we'll be glad to share them with you. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that article is entitled The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. And the earlier article, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Again, today we're looking specifically at the topic, Prayer and Faith Currencies of the Kingdom. And I want to remind you too, in fact, for time reasons, I'm not going to try to read it, but I want to encourage you to take time to read 2 Kings chapter 4. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, it tells of a number of miracles that take place that deal with God's servant or servants putting in their faith to work and obtaining blessings because they put their faith to work. In other words, the currencies of the kingdom we're talking about are faith and prayer. And here, these are instances where God used Elisha, the great prophet of God, to accomplish some things. Starting out in the chapter, there's a young widow who is crying out for help because the creditors trying to take her sons as slaves because her husband died and she's deep in debt. Well, again, one might think, well, if she just had enough money, it could have fixed that problem. Well, it seems that if she did have money, it could have been fixed. But notice how God uses Elisha. Elisha trusts God for wisdom and grace, and he asks her the question, what do you have in your house? Her response is, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Not only did the Holy Spirit guide Elisha to ask a very important question, the Holy Spirit directs her, he lets her know what she needs to do. He tells her, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And so she takes the little oil in her house and begins to pour, and the Spirit of God multiplies it. And so you could say the Holy Spirit blessed her with an oil business, and she sold it and paid off her debts, and she and her family were able to live on the rest. God gave her a brand new business, but it was by the power of faith. Faith was at work. Faith was the currency. She didn't have money in the natural, but God provided, by faith, a business that could take care of her debts. So again, keep in mind, faith and prayer opened the door for a miracle for her for her needs to be miraculously met. There's another story, the same chapter, of a rich woman who blesses Elisha and his servant, blesses them with a place to stay when they're coming through the area. And she's very kind to Elisha. Well, Elisha wants to know, how can he be a blessing to her? Elisha's servant responds, lets him know that she doesn't have any children. Well, just to make a long story short, Elisha lets her know, this time, a year from now, you're going to have a child. And sure enough, God blessed her with a child. Remember, she's already rich, but her money couldn't buy her the ability to have a baby. But God, through faith and prayer, blessed her with a son, blessed her with a child. Remember, there are many things in the world money cannot buy, but remember, the currencies of the kingdom of God, faith currencies such as faith and prayer, can accomplish all kinds of things that will glorify God and meet the needs of people. May we be believers that are wise enough to every day to be seeking to develop our prayer life and our life of faith, so that we can put those two currencies of the kingdom of God to work in our lives every single day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to use these wonderful currencies of faith and prayer in our lives daily to glorify you, to build your kingdom, and to accomplish your work and your will in the world, as well as to receive blessings that we desire and or need. Help us to make the most of utilizing these in a maximum way. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us now and give your life to Jesus Christ? Today is a great, great day to be saved. Would you pray with us and commit your life to Christ with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to, please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong as a new disciple in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Same email if you'd like to get copies of the articles we shared. The first article was entitled A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. And then the second article entitled The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. If you'd like to get one or both copies, simply email us. Same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening today. We were looking at the topic Faith and Prayer, Currencies of the Kingdom. Thanks for listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.